Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today, and I want to thank Tenbrook for organizing this panel and for making this happen. I also want to thank all of you for being here early in the morning, and hopefully you weren't woken up by the hailstorm last night the way I was. So my name is Erin Kent, and I am a program director at the National Cancer Institute in the Outcomes Research Branch, and I'm going to talk to you today about a specific data linkage that is a very effective way of assessing patient-reported outcomes and adding to our knowledge of patient-reported outcome surveillance for cancer survivors. And the data linkage is called SEER-MHOS, which stands for SEER is the cancer registry component, so that's the surveillance, epidemiology, and end results. And then MHOS stands for the Medicare Health Outcomes Survey. I have no relationships to disclose, and I want to acknowledge my two co-authors, Anita Ahms and Steve Clouser, who really laid the foundation for this linkage and made all of this work possible. So I want to start with a picture. This blurry picture of a hospital room where there's some medical intervention happening. And I brought this picture into this presentation because I think in the busy, often urgent, complicated hustle of clinical practice, the relevance of surveillance research can be very difficult to remember, let alone help clinicians maintain a true patient-centered focus the way that we always aim to do in research. So as researchers interested in patient-reported outcomes and the integration of PROs in clinical practice, we need to remember the reality of that busyness and those competing demands as we think about surveillance on the broader level. So a little background about cancer in older adults. So adults ages 65 and over account for approximately 60% of all cancer diagnoses. But 43% of older adults with cancer today will survive more than 10 years. And of that, 17% more than 20 years from initial diagnosis. And that is largely because of more effective therapies and earlier detection. And although we don't have it up here, the aging of the population, the number of older cancer survivors will continue to grow. We have very limited research on the health-related quality of life and the patient's experiences of older cancer survivors specifically. So another way of looking at this is a projection of prevalence graph that we show here. So this actually shows the number of cancer cases that are predicted to the year 2020. You can see steady growth in both the younger and older cancer survivors, but a much more pronounced growth in the older individuals. So by the year 2020, we're projected to have 11 million cancer survivors 65 and over. So some of you in the room might be familiar with the recent Institute of Medicine report, Delivering High Quality Cancer Care, Charting a New Course for System in Crisis. But what might be lesser known is that one of the recommendations, recommendation 8, is actually about quality measurement. And the goal of that recommendation is to develop a national quality reporting program for cancer care as part of a learning healthcare system. And further in the chapter about that recommendation, there's a call for the creation and implementation of a formal long-term strategy for publicly reporting quality measures for cancer care that leverage existing efforts. And I would argue that the data collection efforts that you heard Tenbrook talk about, that I'm talking about now, and that Kate will talk about, are part of those existing efforts and that can be used as a foundation for creating a really effective national quality reporting system for cancer care. Okay, so what is MHOS? For anyone in the room who works with or has worked with this data before, you might know it as HOS, but we call it MHOS at NCI. Essentially, MHOS is a survey conducted by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, or CMS, that has been fielded nationally since 1998, and it is a survey of Medicare Advantage beneficiaries, so individuals who are enrolled in a Medicare Advantage organization. You can think of them as HMOs if you're unfamiliar with what that is. So this is a survey that's fielded nationally and annually. It's fielded at baseline, and then 2 years later, the same participants who receive the survey get a follow-up survey, and they get the follow-up survey of that year. So the survey itself has evolved over time, but the main core function of the survey is to assess health-related quality of life and functional status. And CMS uses this as a quality improvement assessment tool. So it samples Medicare Advantage plans that have at least 500 members. For the plans that have 1,000 members or less, all of the members are surveyed. For those who have more than that, originally it was 1,000. The sample size was 1,000 per plan, and now it's been moved up to 1,200. But the survey itself feeds into a national quality improvement program. So the plans themselves actually get feedback on how their beneficiaries are functioning, their health status, their change in health status over time. And it also goes into a program called the Star Ratings Program, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Okay, so SEER. A lot of you probably, I'm guessing, since you're here at the cancer session, cancer forum, have heard of SEER. But just by way of review, SEER is a national program of cancer registries that's comprised of a selection of regional and state-based registries. It accounts for, the numbers fluctuate a little bit, but about 29% of cancer cases diagnosed in the U.S., and has been collecting data on cancer since 1973. The program has been adding registries since that time, however, so it has expanded over time. So what MHUS does is it brings together SEER and the Medicare Health Outcome Survey in a linkage. So we link the data that's provided in MHUS to the data that's provided in SEER, and then we have information on the individuals who were diagnosed with cancer, as well as the comparison group, which are MHOS participants who were not diagnosed with cancer. So the goals are to create a data set for use by NCI, CMS, and external investigators, and to collect valid and reliable data on patient-reported outcomes that can be used to promote research and policy in the area of outcomes research and surveillance, and then health plan quality improvement. I mentioned the Star Ratings Program. So Star Ratings are effectively like a Yelp for Medicare Advantage plans. So anyone can go onto CMS's website and look up their plan if they know their plan by name, or they can actually browse for plans. And each plan has a 1 through 5 star rating based on measures that are that come out of the MHOS survey, as well as the CAPS, the Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems, and some other measures. So the Star Ratings act as a way of educating and informing beneficiaries about how quality their plan is, but it also has an sort of a carrot and a stick component. So plans actually get rewarded for having high quality ratings, but they also face essentially sanctions for having persistently low performing quality plans, and they can actually be restricted in their ability to enroll more members or open new contracts. So it's more than just Yelp, I would say. It's really truly a quality improvement program. And a recent study in the New England Journal actually just showed that the Star Ratings program, we're starting to see some effects on beneficiary enrollment and plan switching. Those effects were differential across certain socio-demographic groups, but we are actually starting to see the impact of the Star Ratings program on those things. So for those of you who are not familiar with SEER, these are the areas that SEER currently covers across the U.S. So you see a collection of both state cancer registries and some regional areas like Detroit, Seattle, Puget Sound area, Louisiana is part of the SEER cancer registry program. So SEER is a bit different than the state cancer registry programs in that every state has a state cancer registry program, but not all states are part of SEER. But as you can see, this covers a wide variety of places within the U.S., and SEER is thought to be very representative of the heterogeneous populations of the U.S. Okay, so what's in this data resource? So for SEER, we get cancer incidence and survival, month and year of diagnosis, site of cancer, histology, grade and stage, initial surgery and radiation treatment within 12 months of diagnosis. We do not, however, have very good chemotherapy data. We have a yes, no, did you receive chemotherapy, but it's SEER is one of the main limitations you should always hear about research that comes out of SEER, is that we do not have reliable information on chemotherapy, and I would also add hormonal therapies. NCI is thinking about ways, and other groups too, and ASCO, I believe, thinking about ways that we can improve upon that, because this is a major limitation in the area of cancer research. Follow-up vital status, including some cause of death information, and then, of course, demographics. MHOS, so the bread and butter I mentioned before is health-related quality of life, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, activities of daily living. We do have some self-reported yes-no comorbidities. So that has actually been a very useful thing to look at as we kind of broaden our interest in the experience of individuals with multiple chronic conditions. Some depressive symptoms, which have been used in research. The number of unhealthy days in the past 30, which is a measure that CDC came up with, I want to say, in the early 2000s and has been part of the behavioral risk factor surveillance system, BRFSS, for a while, and is now part of HOS. Health behaviors including smoking history, which is a really great feature of this data, and then HEDIS effectiveness of care measures in the areas of urinary incontinence, physical activity management, bone density scanning, and then one area that I think is very ripe for research using Serum HOS, fall risk management. And then also we have additional demographics. We actually have some different items in MHOS that haven't been used, such as home ownership and some things like that. So health-related quality of life. I'm not going to go into too much detail on this slide. It's very busy, but essentially SF-36 was the original measure that was used to capture health-related quality of life, 36 items. SF-36 yields two component summary scores, so physical and mental health. Very, very widely used measure. There are 8 scales as part of the SF-36, physical functioning, physical role limitations, bodily pain, a general health measure, vitality, social functioning, mental health, and emotional role functioning. So what happened was in 2006, CMS switched the MHOS survey from using the SF-36 to the VR-12 to make a shorter survey, reduce respondent burden and survey costs. The VR-12 was developed, tested, and implemented by the VA in multiple studies, and those who created the VR-12 created conversion formulas to allow comparisons with the SF-36. So you can actually go switch back and forth between the PCS, the physical component summary score, and the MCS. We're now working, we now have a contract in place to map the 8 scales too. So you'll be able to go move across all of the cohorts of HOS using either the VR-12 or SF-36 in about a year's time. Okay, numbers of people in Serum HOS. So about one point, as of the last data linkage, which was completed about a year and a half ago and gave us data through 2011, we have 1.6 million people who have completed an MHOS survey. So that number would be higher if you were just looking at HOS data itself, but what we have in our linkage. But 95,000 of those individuals are linked to SEER, meaning they have a cancer diagnosis reported in SEER. So are not linked to SEER or no cancer reported, and a number is about 1.3 million. But what's really cool about this data, as I mentioned, it's two waves. So we actually have 43,000 individuals who have completed two or more surveys. Occasionally, individuals will get surveyed even more. They're in a very small plan. Those numbers are pretty small. But 43,000, two or more surveys. And this is probably even more important to look at some of the most prevalent cancer sites that are represented in the Serum HOS linkage. So for the top 4 cancer sites, prostate, breast, colorectal, lung, we have very big numbers amenable to research. We even have good numbers of individuals who took a survey, were diagnosed with cancer, and then took another survey. And that's what you see here. And I'm going to show you later some findings that are based on population of, we have some prostate, breast, and colorectal findings so far. But sort of some of the, I guess, less studied cancer sites, we still have pretty good numbers here. Even for those, I mean, you could, 330 individuals with bladder cancer who have a cervical before and after diagnosis. And we're in the middle of completing our next linkage, which will also grow these numbers and provide us data, linked data for both SEER and Ametra through 2011. Okay, strengths and limitations. We've got adequate sample sizes, as you just saw, for many cancer sites, but not all. We have the ability to look at change over 2-year period, which is very rare for looking at patient-reported outcomes on this kind of scale. We can compare to individuals with and without cancer, and it's one of the largest data sources on PROs of older adults with cancer. Limitations that come from both SEER and MHOS. So limited to select SEER registry areas, and we've explored the idea of expanding SEER MHOS to also map to certain state registries, for example, Florida and Minnesota, which have high HMO penetration and high numbers of seniors. Our SEER treatment data is limited. We don't obviously have data on, so we don't have data on non-Medicare populations. We also don't have data in SEER MHOS, probably should have said this earlier, in fee for service. So NCI also manages a linkage between SEER cancer registry data and the Medicare fee for service population, which provides claims. SEER MHOS does not have, at this point in time, any sort of claims data or encounter data that might come later. But right now we have the survey and we have the cancer information. And less appreciated, but as you kind of get into exploring research ideas, it's very important to realize that the serving sampling frame is not designed around the time since diagnosis. You have to be very careful how you define your cases with respect to that. Okay, so thank you. Okay, so the data were made publicly available in 2008, and since then we've had 19 data use agreements and 16 publications, and I'm just going to roll through very quickly some findings so you can get a sense of what we've learned, but also so you can get a sense of how we can use this data. So I led a paper that looked at just a cross-sectional glimpse of health-related quality of life with PCS and MCS in what we dubbed less common cancer sites, so i.e. not the big four. And what we found here was that across cancer sites, we saw lower health-related quality of life scores between those who had these cancers and those without cancer, particularly with respect to physical health. A lot of preservation happening in mental health, but physical health declines. In particular, we found much lower scores among individuals with certain cancers, particularly pancreas and multiple myeloma. We saw that same trend across several of the 8 scales. Another cross-sectional glimpse is a paper that was recently published in Bladder Cancer Survivors. So here we have the researcher, and I'm talking about this is really good use of the data, thinking about time since diagnosis. What he did was he looked at sort of cross-sections of individuals when they took the survey versus when they were diagnosed with cancer. So you see this is 1 year before diagnosis and then around the time of diagnosis and then the survivorship periods afterward. And what was interesting is that across the time since diagnosis, we see lower PCS scores persisting up to 10 years post-diagnosis. Now I'll show a couple examples of some longitudinal uses of the data. So Bryce Reed led this paper looking at prostate cancer, so comparing men with prostate cancer to men with no history of cancer and looking at their score changes in health. So these are measures of health-related quality of life, the PCS, the MCS, and 4 of the scales. And what he showed was that there was much bigger deficits among those who were recently diagnosed, but that we see some rebounding happening over time, which is actually good news. And in that same paper, he looked at different kinds of treatments for prostate cancer, as well as some of the other measures in MHOS, including urinary incontinence, and found some interesting findings there. Another paper, also out of Bryce's lab, looked at breast cancer survivors and compared health-related quality of life across treatment types. And so what she found was that we saw greater physical health declines in women with breast cancer than controls across treatment types, whether they had breast cancer surgery, plus radiation, or mastectomy. And then just briefly, two other more recent papers. One looked at colorectal cancer and saw declines in physical health related quality of life, greater decrements among those with later stages of cancer, and also greater odds of major depressive disorder than controls. Another paper looked at disparities and looked at the potential for racial and ethnic disparities and found that actually pre-diagnosis, non-Hispanic whites had better health-related quality of life in these three cancer sites than minorities, but post-diagnosis, some of those gaps actually narrowed, indicating that there may be some positive impact of cancer treatment, at least with respect to health-related quality of life and in terms of reducing disparities. So here's some other research questions I think that are ripe for using Serum HOS. So how has health-related quality of life and other patient-reported outcomes among older cancer patients changed over time? What kinds of comorbidities occur among patients with specific cancer sites? How does functional status predict mortality and survival? That would be a very useful, very effective use of our data. The star ratings program, no one's actually looked at that within the cancer population by itself to see if it actually affects enrollment or retention. And are there regional and geographic or health plan effects on the health status of patients and survivors in these organizations? Okay, how do you access this data? So essentially, you can see the website there, but you just Google Serum HOS, and we have very detailed information on the web. There's an email address that you can send questions about using the data. We have, for anyone in the room, use Seerstat? Yay, okay. So we actually have a flag now in Seerstat. You actually have to request what's called a customizable database that you can actually see, get estimates of how many MHOS surveys are available for your particular cancer site, stage, et cetera. And I'm doing a session at the NCI booth tomorrow. If you have specific questions and you want to talk about your research ideas, I'll be there from 1:30 to 2:30 tomorrow or after the session too. Our partners, and I just wanted to give a little teaser before I end about fear caps. So the Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems is a patient experiences with care. It's a survey also run by CMS, designed by AHRQ. And CAHPS is fielded annually in all of the different kinds of plans, and so we actually have Medicare Advantage and fee-for-service. So for the individuals who are in SEER and have taken a CAHPS survey, we also have claims for those who are in fee-for-service. We are doing some internal analyses to really get a handle on the data, but we are planning to make it publicly available within, I'd say, 2 to 3 years. And these are some questions that can be answered with SEER CAHPS data, including perceptions of care, the extent that there may be variation across racial and ethnic groups, experience, whether they vary by chronic illness burden, and end of life. What are the healthcare utilization patterns and patient care experiences at that point in time? One end with just a quote, that when performance is measured, performance improves. That is a very big tenet behind both the CAHPS and the MHOS quality improvement programs. But and I think Tenbrook really brought this around nicely in his demonstration of the reporting system that you're creating with process back to hospitals, that when performance is measured and reported back, the rate of improvement accelerates. So all of the surveillance data is for that effort, quality improvement. Thank you.